the book of John, chapter 21. John, chapter 21. And we're going to be reading some verses here. But it's going to be quick, amen. Reading the verses. And then John, chapter 21. And then starting in verse 6. And when you found your place, if you would, and if you're able, stand with us in reverence to the Word of God. And this is where we'll find a thought for the message tonight. In John, the Gospel of John, chapter 21, in verse 6, the Bible says this, "And he said unto them," that being Jesus, "cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. Verse 9, as soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. And Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, and 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Verse 12, Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples thus asked him, Who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto them, Feed my lambs. He saith unto him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. With the Lord being our helper tonight, we'd like to preach on this thought. Peter, this is your life. Peter, this is your life. Let's bow our head and pray. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You and praise You, Lord, for all the many blessings, Lord. There was many prayer requests tonight, Lord, and we ask, Lord, that You just deal with each one according to Your will. Lord, we pray, Lord, and intercede on those that may not be able to come to You, Lord, in prayer. I don't know. But, Lord, we pray tonight, Lord, for all those in need, Lord, for those that are sick, for those that are afflicted, Lord, for those that are at work, for those that are traveling, Lord, for those that would love to be here but just couldn't make it out. Lord, we ask that You bless them right where they're at tonight. Lord, I pray, Lord, and thankful tonight, Lord, am I, for each one that's here in the house of God, Lord. They could be anywhere else tonight, Lord, but they chose to come and worship You in spirit and in truth. And, Lord, You tell us in Your Word that where two or three are gathered in Your name, Lord, that You are there in the midst of them. So, Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, and I know that You keep Your Word. So, Lord, I pray that You just move, Lord, amongst the people tonight, Lord. For those that came in tired, Lord, I pray You give them strength. Lord, for those that came in weary and defeated, Lord, I pray that You encourage their heart. Lord, for those that come in already hungry, Lord, I pray that You fill their plate. Lord, for those that came in thirsty, Lord, oh, just let them get a drink from the well. Lord, I pray, Lord, tonight for those that may not even know why they're here, Lord, pray that You just move in a mighty way in their life, Lord. And most importantly, Lord, if there's someone here tonight, Lord, that doesn't know You, Lord, as their Savior, Lord, I pray tonight would be the night. Lord, they come to You with their chains just undone. Lord, they come to You and say, Lord, I need You. Lord, as my Lord and Savior. And I know, Lord, beyond a shadow of a doubt, Lord, if they come, Lord, that You'll save them, Lord. Lord, pray for me tonight, Lord. I can't do this on my own, nor would I want to, Lord. So, Lord, I'm asking, Lord, that You just touch me. Lord, that You just fill me with some Holy Ghost power, Lord, and just allow us just to preach tonight, Lord, what You gave our heart to preach. Lord, I'm a willing vessel, but, Lord, I'm also broken. Lord, I need You, Lord, to just use me in a mighty, mighty way. Lord, and we'll pray all this in Your sweet name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Amen. Peter, this is your life. Now, listen, I may look old. I'm not that old. Amen. But I remember the show, This Is Your Life. And for those that remember that show, what they would do is they would have an individual sitting there, and they'd have this big wall between that person and the individual. And what they'd do, they'd bring out people from this person's life, and they would describe an event, and they would describe a certain situation, and they would just begin to reflect on the things of their life. Well, I believe here in these verses that we just read here in John 21, starting from verse 6 to verse 17, I believe that there are some familiar scenes that pass through Peter's mind and past Peter's eyes in these scriptures. And just help us tonight, pray for us tonight, as we look at these scriptures of Peter, this is your life. Number one, we see the familiar scene of faithfulness. Now I want you to turn, stay right here in chapter 21, and I want you to look at verse 6. And he said, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. Now let me stop right there for a moment, and let me say this to you. In the events that followed the Lord rising again, He had made Himself known unto the disciples. He appeared unto the disciples two times prior to these events. And yet still, Peter says in chapter 21 and verse 3, Peter says this, Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. Now, Peter was a fisherman until Jesus came by. And then he became a fisher of men. Amen. And so in these events, now remember, Peter had denied Christ three times when they arrested him. And listen, let me tell you something. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it was eating at Peter. The Bible says he went out and wept bitterly, Brother Rand. That means he went out and he shed some tears. He was heartbroken by what just occurred. Amen. But listen, he said, I go a fishing. Jesus never intended for you to go back to the life that He brought you from. Amen. He never intended for you to go back to what you think you know. Amen. He wanted you to continue in your walk with Him. Amen. He wanted Peter to continue preaching the gospel message. He wanted Peter to continue to go across the land preaching Jesus Christ and Jesus saves. Amen. But yet Peter made a decision. He said, I go fishing. So here we are. I caught you up. We're at verse 6 now. Jesus shows up. In verse 4 he says, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. I like that. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. I don't like that. They did. Hello. You see here that here they were going back. And listen, let me finish verse 3 here. It says, they went forth. Or wait, it says, we also go with thee. Who was these guys? It was the other disciples. Thomas, Nathaniel. These guys were not fishermen. The sons of Zebedee, they were fishermen. Simon Peter said, I go fish. They said, we'll go with you. They thought it was done. They thought their work in the ministry was over. But you see here, Jesus stood on the shore. Jesus showed up. Amen. When you try to go back to your old life, turn around and look on the shoreline. You'll see Jesus standing there. Amen. Jesus will let you go only so far. He don't want you to go back to the old life. When you feel yourself going back to the old ways, turn around and look. Jesus is standing there with arms wide open saying, come back. Amen. But Peter said, I go fishing. Now we jump to verse 5. It says, then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. Then verse 6, this is where we want to go. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. Now let me ask you this question. You can say yes or no. Does this scripture sound familiar to you? Does it sound familiar? I'll take your Bibles real quickly and turn to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. And we're going to look at verse 1. In Luke chapter 5, we're going to look here and see if it looks familiar to you after we read this. Amen. Luke chapter 5 and verse 1, the Bible says this, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake, and we're going to stop right there, amen, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, hello, and prayed him that he would thrust not a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, by the way, that's Peter, amen. He said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered, said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when he had, when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And he beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both of their ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Look at verse 11. And when they have brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. This was the familiar scene to Peter. This was the familiar scene of faithfulness. This is when he decided to follow Jesus. Does it look familiar to you now when we read the scripture? He says, cast thy net on the right side. And listen, even in his sinful nature, Peter still said, nevertheless, at thy word, I will. Listen, there's a lot of saved folks that can't say those words, amen. The Lord tells us to do something, we say, well, not today, Lord. I don't want to do that today. Well, not today, Lord. I don't feel too good today. But listen, we need to stop making excuses on why we don't do and start listening to the Lord and start doing, amen. And say, nevertheless, at thy word, I will, Lord. This was a familiar scene to Peter. Listen, you got to remember, do not forget this. Do not forget this. Peter was probably heartbroken. I just denied Christ. I don't want to do this no more. You ever been there, church? This serving Jesus thing's a little too hard. I don't want to do this no more. Lord, if you allow me to, Lord, I just want to sit down. I'm tired. I'm weak. I don't want to do this no more. I just want to go back to what I used to do. I just want to go back fishing. Lord, I've let you down. Listen, when you start painting the picture of you're not good enough, you're right where you need to be. Because you need to look up and say, Jesus, it's all of you and nothing of myself. But this was a familiar scene of faithfulness. It was the same scene when Peter surrendered. The Bible said back there in Luke, he said, and they forsook all and followed him. You know, a lot of times, this right here will represent the old life, Brother Leonard. And Jesus wants us to follow. Jesus wants us to sell out and follow him. But yet we want to follow, but yet we're holding on. What are you holding on to tonight? The Bible said that Peter and the sons of Zebedee, they forsook all. They had family. Amen. Preacher, how do you know that? Did not Jesus heal Simon's mother-in-law? So he had a mother-in-law, he had a wife. They had family. They had jobs. They were fishermen. Apparently on this day, not good enough. They didn't catch anything. But Jesus blessed their work. And he said, follow me. This was the familiar scene of faithfulness. This is when he followed. He cast on the right side. And going back to John chapter 21, you see here that when he said that, they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. The Lord blessed them. Here they were, out fishing, doing what they... come on now. They were doing what they were not told to do. Jesus didn't tell them to go fishing. Jesus met with them up in the upper room. Jesus met with them one other time. And He never said, go back to what you used to do. But yeah, here they were. And the Lord still blesses. That is just like you and me. And if y'all say amen to anything tonight, you'll say amen to this. We are rebellious people. Amen. It's probably the biggest amen I'll get tonight, amen. We are rebellious people. When the sign says, don't walk on the grass, we walk on the grass. When the sign says, wet cement, we put our initials in it, amen. When the sign says, wet paint, we put our fingerprints on it. We are rebellious people, amen. But when we go back and try to do things our way, praise God, we serve a Lord Jesus Christ who will bless us in spite of our stupidity, amen. We serve a Lord that will bless us even in spite of our idiocies, amen. We serve a Lord that loves to bless you, amen. And He blessed them with a draught of fishes, a multitude of fishes. But look at this in verse 7. He says, therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, anytime you see that phrase, that terminology, it's John. It's John. So here you see, he says, therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now, how do we know when the Lord does something in our life? Listen. I said a few moments ago, the sheep know His voice. But also, too, the sheep know His actions. The Lord works in only the way the Lord works. The Bible tells us that His ways are not our ways, His thoughts are not our thoughts. Amen. But listen, when the Lord does something in your life, you know it's the Lord. And John realized this. He said, that's the Lord. And Peter, being Peter, was buck naked on the ship doing his thing. And when he heard it was the Lord, he grabbed his coat. And what does the Bible say? He went overboard. Why did Peter go overboard? I believe this. He could get there faster swimming than he could turning that boat around to get back to Jesus. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that he seen Jesus standing on the shoreline and he just wanted to get to Jesus. Listen, when you're away from the Lord, listen, if your heart, if you're saved by God's grace, and I don't care how far you think you've gotten, I don't care how bad you think you are, if you're saved by God's amazing grace, there's always something knocking on the inside. There's always something drawing you back to the Word of God. There's always, you wake up on a Sunday morning, you think, I quit, I want to sit down, I don't want to wake up no more Sundays until I wake up at the crack of noon, amen. But listen, when you get there on Sunday, there's something tapping on your heart saying, you know what? There's some place I need to be. There's some place I need to go. I need to hear some preaching. You ain't going to find too much good preaching on TV, amen. He said, hey, I need to get down to the house of God. I need to get back close to the Lord. I need to reach out to Him when I haven't been reaching out to Him. And listen, I believe that Peter jumped ship. I believe Peter went overboard with just his fishing coat on because he wanted to get to Jesus. What are you willing to do to get to Him? What inconvenience you? Listen, that water is probably cold. You know, what will you do? What will inconvenience you to get to Jesus? Yeah. What are you willing to put aside to get back to the Lord? Amen. Listen, we love Him, as the Bible tells us. Why? Because He first loved us. When the prodigal son returned, the father, seeing him far off, went running to him, hugged his neck. The Lord Jesus Christ, same way, when we get out of God's will and we try to do things our way, listen, I believe the Lord brings up some familiar scenes in our life. What about the day you decided to follow Him? What about the day you decided to say, yes, Lord, yes, to Your will and to Your way? What about the day that you asked the Lord, Lord, I'm just a sinner, but Lord, I need You to save me. And all of a sudden you just felt peace come over. Because the Holy Spirit had entered into your heart. When was the day that you decided to follow the Lord? Amen. Let that scene be drawn back to your mind. I remember where I was at. I was at a funeral in Kentucky down in an old church down there. And I told Becky a while back when we was making runs to Madison all the time. I said, I'd like to cross that line and go try to find that church. You want to know why? It's not because there was power in the church. It's not because I want to go back and remember the funeral. Because I want to go back to the day the Lord knocked on my heart. I want to go back to the place to where He hugged my neck and brought me in. I want to go back to the place, Brother Leonard, where He saved this old boy from the pits of hell. Man, I want to go back. I want those familiar scenes to be drawn up, amen. And that was the familiar scene for Peter, the familiar scene of faithfulness. It brought him back. He said, hey, cast the net. He said, I remember this. This is like the day I accepted Jesus. This is like the day that I followed Him for the first time. Let me tell you something. I was talking to Miss Heather at the beginning of service about the ask meetings. And you know, for those that came in late, the ask meeting this week has been canceled. But I told her, I said, you know, she said, well, you know, it might be a good thing. I said, yeah. I said, a lot of times when we get steak every day, sometimes we lose the appreciation for that steak until the bologna sandwich is slipped in there. And then you get the steak next week and it tastes good again. Well, Brother Clement is the steak, amen. And I'll just be the bologna, amen. But listen, you appreciate that steak, that flavor, amen. So listen, I believe this with all my heart. We need to go back to the day Jesus saved you. Miss Patsy a few moments ago said, you know what, I just want to praise God for where He's brought me from. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. We sing a song around here all the time, you know, take me back. Yeah. Take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first received You. Think about that. Yeah. You go back to that place when Jesus said, I love You. Yeah. I love You. But it was a familiar scene of faithfulness. Number two, we see a familiar scene of failure. Look at verse number 9 in John chapter 21. Y'all with me tonight? Amen. All right. If you're not, wake up, catch up, amen. We'll get you there. Verse 9 says this, and as soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. Now I want to stop right there. There's three words I want you to look at in verse number 9. The Bible says, fire of coals. Now, I'm going to ask you this. Now, in the Bible, there might have been some other times that it's not recorded. But I want to take you back to the last time that Peter seen a fire of coals. Take your Bibles to John 18, verse 18. John 18, verse 18. The Bible tells us this. In John 18, verse 18, it says, let's go up one verse. Let's go up verse 17. Or you know what, let's just go to verse 15. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did other disciples. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus and the palace of the high priest. And Peter stood at the door without. And then went out the other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not, oh my. Verse 18, and the servants and the officers stood there who had made a fire of what? Coals. For it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. Now, I almost preached a message, and I don't know if the Lord ever allow us to, but I almost preached a message on this verse right here on warming up on the wrong fires. Warming up on the wrong fires. Peter was in the company of the men that were going to crucify Christ. He had already denied Him, and now he was warming up to the wrong fire, Brother Leonard. You see, it was a fire of coals. But now go back to John chapter 21. You see this, that when he got to the land, what's the first thing he saw? A fire of coals. Now, if I'm anything like Peter, and I think in the Bible, if I had to line up with anybody, it would probably be Peter, because I've messed up just like the boy messed up, amen. But if I seen that fire of coals, and I seen Jesus, the first thing that would happen to me is I would go back to the time that I failed Him. Now, you say, preacher, doesn't God forgive us of our sins? Absolutely, but you show me in the Bible where they talked about this. Right. Show me in the Bible where Peter said, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. If you find it, call me up, Facebook me, do whatever. Because in my study, it doesn't show a recording of him and Peter getting things right yet. So listen, God, come on somebody, help me. God wants to forgive you, but will not forgive you until you confess your sin. Amen. The Bible tells us in 1 John 1, 9, if we confess, come on, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So at this point in time, I believe they had not talked about it yet. Amen. And the first thing that Peter sees when he gets to shore is he sees Jesus and he sees the fire of coals. And I believe it took him back to a point of his failure. You say, preacher, do you think God will take us back to the point of our failure? Listen, I believe this when we fail God, I believe we'll see that same trial over again. Y'all didn't get that, amen. This I got it. This I feeling righteous tonight, amen. This I catch. Oh, I see why Chris was over here, amen. That's all right. But listen, when we see Jesus in a place of our failure, you will see that test again. Even when you try to act like everything's okay. Preacher, you got Bible for that? I'm going to tell you a little story about a man named David. And listen, he hid his sin. Sin before. Oh, David tried to walk like everything was all right. David tried to walk like everything was all hunky dory. David tried to live right. David tried to walk right. David tried to talk right. But there was still a shadow over his life, amen. And that was his sin with Bathsheba. That was his sin of killing Uriah the Hittite. And listen, let me tell you something. You don't think God knows your sin? He does, amen. He sees what you do in the dark. He sees what's laying on your heart. He knows why you're here tonight. He knows who's here in the spirit. He knows who's here, who's just here, amen. But Jesus, our Lord and Savior, knows it all. David tried to hide his sin. All of a sudden, God got a hold of a man named Nathan. Now, wasn't this Nathan that's asleep right here, amen? He didn't miss a call. But he sent a man named Nathan, and Nathan went on to tell him a story about a man who robbed another man. He said, what in the world would you do about that, David? David got all mad. David got all fired up. He said, well, you know, I'll do this. And Nathan said this, under the anointing of the Lord, Nathan said this to David. He said, thou art the man. See, when the Lord, now listen, Nathan was sent of God. So don't tell me that God won't bring you back to your failure point. He will. What have you learned? What have you got? What have you taken care of? And listen, I believe when he seen that fire of coals, I believe that it took him back to that point when he failed God. Listen, it probably took Peter back to the day that he failed Jesus. But listen, when we fail tests, no, we will see them again. God gives retests. I used to love the retest in school, amen. When I failed that first test, I used to love it. They said, well, there'll be a retest on Friday. But yes, let me get this thing right. And your walk with Christ is no different. You may fail. Listen, everybody in here, the sound of my voice tonight, you will fail a test at some point in your walk with Christ. Well, praise God, He's a God of mercy. He's a God of grace. He's a God of forgiveness. He's a God of second chances. He's a God of compassion. He's a God who will let you take the test over again and give you every opportunity to pass. Amen. So you see here, take it back to a point, a familiar scene of failure. But I like that He didn't leave them there. Let's look on back in John 21. The Bible says this in verse 12. And in verse 13, he says this. In verse 12 says, Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. Now, does that sound familiar? Does that bring back a familiar scene to your mind? Take your Bibles in the book of John here and go to chapter 6. John chapter 6. Peter, this is your life. He went back to the moment when he followed. He went back to the moment where he failed. Now he's at the moment when he was fed. In John chapter 6, in verse number 10, let me get there myself, amen. In John chapter number 6, somebody took it out of my Bible, amen. Pastor must took it with him, amen. In John chapter number 6, and in verse number 10, the Bible says this. Well, let's go up a little ways. This is too good just to pass over. He said, after these things, Jesus went over to the Sea of Galilee, which was in the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto to Philip, "Which shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And this is he. And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew that he would what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 a penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. I like it. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. 5,000 men, amen. That's not including the women and the kids that was there. And listen, in verse 11, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed it to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets. Now, just for my sake, somebody shout, how many disciples were there? And they took up 12 baskets? You don't think God knows what He's doing? You don't think the Lord Jesus Christ knows what He's doing? He just fed 5,000 men. And not even counting the women and kids that was around. And yet there was, and listen, the Bible says that He fed them for as much as they want. It was an all-you-can-eat buffet. Some of you ran to CC's on Sunday. You probably ate too much stuff. Right? Amen. You weren't going in there paying that price only one piece of pizza. You were going to go in there and eat till you were full. Alright? Listen, these guys could eat for as long as they were hungry and there was still going to be enough. Communion said one time this was the world's greatest fish fry. Amen. But listen, he fed 5,000 men, and he fed his disciples. There was enough left over to feed them as well. Now you go back to John 21, you see here that this was the familiar scene of the day he was fed. You see, Jesus, and I'm just going to say this, and you can say amen to this if you want to, but Jesus does not know how to fail. He doesn't know how to fail, but why? Ms. Teresa was making mention how she needs a new car and all these type of things, and I've been there, and we're going to commit that over to prayer. But let me tell you something. God doesn't know how to fail us. We fail Him multiple times over. But God has never once, Ms. Sharon, let me down. When I needed provision, He provided. When I didn't think I needed provision, guess what?
Yeah.
He provided. Amen. He provided out of ways when there was no way. When everything seemed bleak, Jesus stepped up and said, hey, don't worry about it. I got it. Everything's under control. Listen, there's been times that bills have come down to the wire. But listen, Jesus was already working in my tomorrow. Amen. Listen, I'm driving a van that I didn't think would ever get to me. But listen, God said, you know what? I'm going to make a way for it. Amen. But listen, you can tell your story. You can insert your article of faith in there. Amen. God does not know how to fail you, amen. God will provide, amen. He provides for Abraham. He provides for the churches. He will provide for you and I. Why? Right. Because He loves us.
Yes.
And it took right. Peter back to the day that He said. Yeah. Took Peter back to the day that the Lord said. How many of you tonight are hungry? How many of you? I'm not talking physical food. I'm not talking about for the food that's back there, even though it will be good. I'm talking about how many of you are hungry for the Lord. That desire is starting to burn. How many of you are hungry for the things that, well, I'm hungry, but I'm just not willing to do what the Lord has asked me to do. Then you're not hungry. I'll tell this story. I might be in divorce court tomorrow. Saturday. Drop the kids off here at church. A lot of stuff going on, and you know, we dropped them off, and me and Becky had some running to do. And you know, we stopped by Popeye's Chicken. She wanted some of that wicked chicken that they had, that hot stuff, you know. And I said, okay, you know, you got my ear, amen. And she said, I want some onion rings. I said, all right, we'll do that. So we went to Popeye's Chicken, and we got the wicked chicken, and we got the onion rings, and we was ready to go. And we was coming up by the house, we had to do some running.
And there was a man, a homeless man, that was holding a sign that said, homeless and hungry. Well, the light turned green, and you know how we do sometimes. We just go on our way and say, well, you know what, you know, God bless him, you know, and hope he gets with him. Well, all of a sudden, you know, the Holy Spirit gets a hold of it. She's like, let's turn around. Let's give him our meal. I was hungry. The wicked chicken and the onion sounded good. But I said, okay, what kind of preacher would I be, Brother Leonard? I said, no, I want my wicked chicken. Well, we turned around, and we, you know, it was in a bag. We had a track in the van. We put the track, you know, in the bag. And, you know, I pulled over a little bit, and I motioned to the fellow to come. And he came over, and I handed him the bag. He said, oh, thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you. I was like, okay, God bless you. No problem. We pulled away. And as we pulled away, I said, dear God, Becky, we just killed a homeless man. She said, what do you mean? I said, we just gave that man wicked chicken and onion rings from Popeyes, and we didn't give him nothing to drink. I said, we just killed him. We just inadvertently killed a homeless man. I felt like calling Travis and confessing my sins. I didn't know what to do, amen. But I said, oh, dear God. I said, he's going to change the sign from homeless and hungry to homeless and thirsty. Yeah. He didn't have anything to drink. But listen, when you're hungry, it does happen. Brother Leonard, as much as I'm joking about that, I will not doubt you that man, if he was hungry, took that chicken, took the onion rings, and tore it up from the floor up, amen. I believe that if he was hungry, it didn't matter what was there to eat, he was going to eat it, amen. And listen, sometimes what God gives you in His Word may not look good, may not sound good, and hey, it may sometimes even not taste that great, but if it's from the Lord, you need it, it's for your benefit, amen. Tell you what, J.K. Broccoli. Anybody else eat broccoli over here? Oh, don't go to our house, amen. We like broccoli. And we'll put broccoli. We'll eat broccoli with our meal. And we gotta get creative. We got to get creative on how we feed J.K. Broccoli. And the greatest thing they ever came out with was that macaroni and cheese with the vegetable. Well, you know the vegetable, you know what I'm saying? He's looking at me now, he's figuring it out, amen. You know, Daddy made lunch for him one time, and I made that macaroni and the broccoli and everything. He won't know. He took a bite and said, Dad, this don't taste right. I said, son, it's just your imagination. But he ate it. Why? Because I know that it would be good for him to get some vegetables in his body. The Lord knows what you need to make you stronger. The Lord knows, everybody right here, hey, right here. The Lord knows what it takes to get you healthy. The Lord knows what it takes to get you to the other side. Amen. And listen, this was a familiar scene of when the Lord fed him. But now, fourthly and finally tonight, we've seen the familiar scene of when he followed, when he cast the net to the right side. We've seen the familiar scene tonight of when he failed, when he stood by the fire of coals and denied Christ. We've seen the familiar scene when he was fed and when the Lord gave him the fish and the bread, just like he did here when he told him to come and dine. But now look at this tonight. The fourth and final scene of Peter's life with Christ right here was in verse 15. He says this. So when they had dined, now this was all of them that was there, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, now he's making it personal. He says, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Now, I'm going to step out here, but this is my opinion. Take it, leave it. Leave it in the pew, crumble it under. Brother Leonard, this is what I believe. This is just my opinion. Peter denied Jesus Christ three times. Three times. And each time, it was magnified.
Yeah.
You go and read the other accounts, you'll find out Peter started cussing. Peter started acting a fool. So listen, there's probably a lot of sin going on there. How many times did Jesus ask him to love him? Three times. I believe that this is a familiar scene to when Peter was to be forgiven.
This is the point where I believe Peter and the Lord got things right. You say, preacher, you got the Bible to go with that?
Yeah, I do. I didn't study for nothing, amen. Take the Bible to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22 and verse 31. We're going to be done here in just a minute, amen. Devil's tried, but he ain't going to win, amen. We'll just keep marching on, amen. In Luke chapter 22, but I want you to say this, or see this tonight. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 31. Now as you're turning there, I want to paint the picture for you. Jesus made it personal between Him and Peter. He said unto Peter, He said, lovest thou me?
Yeah.
Peter said, Lord, you know I love you. He said, feed my lambs. Look, Peter, lovest thou me? Lord, you know I love thee. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you lovest thou me? Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. He said, feed my sheep. Over here in Luke, in chapter number 22, and in verse number 31, the Bible says this. Y'all there? Somebody say amen.
Yeah, amen.
All right, the Bible says this. Then the Lord said, Simon, Simon. Who's that? Peter. He says, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I, this is the verse, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou... Don't ever think the Lord don't know your heart. Don't think the Lord don't know your tomorrows. Because he said, listen, I pray for your faith fail not. He says, but when thou art converted. That word converted there means to revert, to turn, or to go from. Amen. So he says, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Okay? Y'all got that? Y'all digest that? What's he saying? He says, Peter, there's going to come a time when Satan's going to get in your life and you're going to turn what you've been saying. You've been preaching, you've been doing the miracles, you've been witnessing the things. He says, there's going to be a time when you're going to be total opposite. That time was when he was around that fire of coals and the people started recognizing him as a disciple of Christ. And he said, no, I don't know this man. No, I don't know Jesus. No, will you shut up? That's not me. All these things. He started to deny Christ. He had now been gotten, if you will, and forgive my language, but he's been gotten by Satan. Satan had now got a hold of Peter. How do you know that, preacher? Because he was scared. The Bible says that God has not given us the spirit of fear, amen, but of a sound mind to go on with the rest of them. But what had happened is fear had stricken the heart of Peter. He began to be sifted. He began to be shaken to see what Peter was made of. And during this test, he had failed the Lord in this test. Oh, but I thank God tonight, church, that we serve a Lord that knows what's going to happen, amen. I'm thankful that we serve a Lord that knows that when we fail, that He's going to come around again and say, hey, when thou art converted, amen. When you turn away from this, Peter, you're going to deny, but I know that's not you, Peter. Peter, you're going to deny me three times, but I know that's not what you're all about. Praise God, when you fail the Lord, He still loves you. He don't kick you out of the family. He holds your neck, saying it's going to be all right. And let's get this tonight. Listen, he says, when thou art converted, what's those next three words? Strengthen thy brother. Now let's turn back. Let's wrap this up. John 21. The Lord gives Peter three things to do. He said, feed my lambs. Those are the babes in Christ. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Now, if a person is considered in the flock or a sheep or of the Lord's, what does that make that person to us? Brother. The Lord said, when thou art converted, Peter, when we get this thing settled and you turn away from this sin and everything's all right between you and I, He said, I got a job for you to do. Strengthen the brother. What did He tell him to do? Feed the lambs, feed the sheep, feed the sheep. He was telling him here in this verse, go strengthen the brethren. Do you see that? The Gospels come together. He told them, go feed my lambs. Go feed my sheep. Listen, when you fail God, it's not the end of the world. Jesus still has a job for you to do. Amen. He was not done with Peter. He was not done with the disciples. He was not done with Thomas. He was not done with Nathaniel. He was not done with Matthew. He was not done with Luke. Hey, he had a guy coming along named Paul. Amen. And he was going to use him in a mighty way. When you feel like you've messed up past the point, He wants to use you.
Amen.
But in order for you to be used, you have to lay down what's hindering you from doing the job. Now, I'm no theologian. I don't have no degrees. The other day, Sunday night or Sunday morning, pastor stood up here and asked who had degrees in here. And I felt like raising my hand saying, I wear a degree, amen, to deodorant. That's about it. I don't have no degrees. But let me tell you this. I'm going to ask you one question. You know it or you don't, but I hope y'all know it. After this was settled between Peter and the Lord, who was it that went on to preach on the day of Pentecost? Who was it?
Peter.
Peter went on to preach the day of Pentecost. What's the Bible say? How many souls got saved that day? 5,000? 3,000? It doesn't matter. It's still a big number. Amen. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. The Lord had a job for Peter to do, but there had to be some reconciliation.
Yeah.
I remember hearing a preacher preach one time the message on, have I told you lately that I love you?
Yeah.
You know what? The thing is, we need to go to God and say, Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. Yes, Lord, I've messed up. Yes, Lord, I've done wrong. Yes, Lord, I've failed. But Lord, I know you love me. I know you're a God of compassion and of forgiveness. And Lord, I know you've got something for me to do. But Lord, in order for me to do that, I've got to get things right with you. Yes, Lord, I do love you. You know, when you get things right with God, that command to do is much clearer.
Yeah.
If you have sin in your life, guess what? It clouds things up. Clouds things. You're a fool. Some of you preachers preach against fools. I like them. They just fool me off. But in your pool, if you don't add the chemicals, if you don't add the elements or the ingredients to that pool, what happens that day? It turns green.
Yeah.
Nasty. No longer is it refreshing. Now it becomes a chore. Okay? When you don't add the ingredients that the Lord has laid out for us, and one of those ingredients is confession. You don't have to go to some man in a phone booth and say, you know, Father, you don't have to do all that. You have a direct line to God Himself. You have an advocate with the Father in the name of Jesus. But you've got to come and say, Lord, as it says in the book of Psalms, create in me a new heart. Renew the right spirit. See, sometimes our pool, so to speak, gets murky. Good word. We need Jesus to come along, add that ingredients of forgiveness. Add that ingredients of mercy. Hey, maybe throw in a pinch of grace. Give a whole lot of love. I'm going to stir it around for you. Let that thing sparkle and shine. How about you tonight? How about you tonight? Tell you what, tonight's a good night to get things right with God. Preacher, it's Tuesday night. Nobody goes to y'all on Tuesday night. You ain't been here long. These altars are always open. You show up on a Thursday. It's on my come to the altar. But the point is, I want you to get things right with God. You know, we say, Peter, this is your life. You know what? You take Peter's name out of that and insert your own name. You can even say, Steve, this is your life. Bill, this is your life. Sharon, this is your life. Bobby, this is your life.
Yeah.
What scenes went through your head tonight? The scenes of when you followed Him, the scenes of when you failed Him. How about the scene when He fed you or provided for you? How about the scene of forgiveness? I tell you what, this old boy's messed up time and time again in his walk with Christ. And I'll be the first to tell you, I've messed up big time. I messed up little. I messed up big. I messed up in between. But the fact of the matter is, I messed up. And every time I've come broken and undone in front of the Lord and bowed before Him and said, Jesus, you have every right. You have every right to be done with me. Jesus, you have every right not to use me again. There's been times, church, when I wanted to be done. There's times I've said, God, I don't care. I want to quit. I want to be done. You know, people can get to you after a while, church. But every time I've done that, I've come back to Him. You know what He's done? He didn't turn His back on me. He didn't whip me with a belt and say, you're no good. I don't want you no more. You know what He did, Brother Leonard? He hugged me. He forgave me. He said, son, it's going to be all right. And you know what? He dusted me off. Got that stench of sin off me. Washed me under the blood. Cleaned me up. And set me on my way and said, you know what? I'm here. It's going to be all right. Maybe you think you're too bad for the Lord. Well, there's no way the Lord can forgive me for what I've done. Try it.
I've doubted, trying. I've hated, trying.
I've been unforgiven,
trying.
Listen, whatever you need from the Lord, try. Taste and see. And as they come with a song of invitation, and if somebody could, please help Brother Steve. He's got his hands full and he's trying, amen. They all got their hands full. So some of the ladies, if you can't help, well, listen. And brother, you just start playing whatever you just start playing. I want y'all to stand. Everybody stand. Preacher, I failed him.